WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The crowning of new Raw Tag Team Champions happened tonight on Monday Night Raw. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I am Soraka, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Is it a case of, you know, enemies becoming friends, or is it the case of you keep your friends close and your enemies closer for Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman? Because, well, they were certainly eyeing up those titles, both the Raw Tag Team Championships and the Universal title, tonight as the show closed.
So, going into the show, it was AJ Styles versus Braun Strowman for the U.S. title. The OC got involved, caused disqualification. Seth Rollins made the save. So Braun and Seth wanted revenge. Mainly Seth really wanted revenge on the OC. And it's like, the one thing we can do is take the tag team titles away from the OC. So you get to the main event of the show, and that's exactly what happened. After a really good match, Rollins and Braun are now your Raw Tag Team Champions. And there's a locker room moment where Braun was staring at the bell, and then the show ended. Braun was still staring at the bell. It's like, okay. We kind of know where they're going. They're kind of pushing Strowman towards the Universal title for probably Clash of Champions. And I know the title switch is not going over, at least in our chat room right here, twitch.tv/W2Live, as a big deal. It's more of a hindrance on the OC rather than helping Rollins and Strowman. But it's wrestling booking 101, what they're doing right now.
Yep. You're bringing Rollins and Strowman together. You're making a pairing. And you're giving them more of a reason to feud once things do sort of boil over. And the OC can get the titles back. Like, that's not a big deal at all. And they probably will once they're ready or they're done with Rollins and Strowman. That's going to be what happens, is the OC gets them, or they'll probably lose them to maybe the Viking Raiders or somebody else. It's basically, you're taking the titles off the OC to sort of give them a breather to do something else with them.
It's a catalyst to move the story along. And do I think Rollins and Braun need the tag team titles to set up their Universal title match? No. Do I think it's a great decision you put the belts on Rollins and Strowman? No. But that's the decision they made. That's the story they're telling. And to be honest, the OC is in an interesting situation where you think they're going to be the top act, but they're not the top act. They're like the semi-top act as in terms of heels. Because AJ's at a level where they're not putting him towards the main event. He's like second tier right now until they're ready to put him back up. So it's like anything they do with the OC, it's like, yeah, they got titles and they're going to probably get the titles back. It's just they're in a weird spot.
They're in a holding pattern.
It's like they're together now, so there's a unit there, so they're going to continue to do stuff together. And you didn't really hurt the credibility of the OC because it's... You lost the WWE Universal Champion and Braun Strowman. you lost to two credible people, even if it's a makeshift tag team. But you can't, you look at the OC and you go, they're credible, but you look at the history in the last year, they're not the most credible team overall. So it's like, it's going to take more to rebuild them and reestablish them. The titles would help, but I don't think right now that's the long-term goal. But they could get the belts back in 2 weeks before Clash of Champions and defend against somebody. I don't know. But it's I can see why people don't like the change. And I can see why people are for the change.
The titles only help if they have contention for the titles. So if you have a face tag team coming for the titles that can mess with the OC and challenge them, or you have another faction or group coming in that wants to challenge for all three titles, or technically two, but I think of the tag as two separate. Anyway, it's weird. Challenge for the OC's titles, whatever they have at that point. Then I feel like that's more impactful than just having Gallows and Anderson running around with the titles with AJ, if that makes sense. Like, it was cool when they won them. It was a dominant victory for them. They looked really good, but they haven't necessarily followed up with that since. And that's what this is missing, is like Rock said, they're just kind of holding them on the outside until they're ready to do something with them. And since they are holding, you can move the tag titles off them for the time being, use them in the story with Rollins and Strowman, and then you either have the OC win them back when they somehow earn a rematch clause, or they just enact a rematch clause, and then, you know, they win their titles back, or they go to somebody else in the tag division, if that makes sense. So, I mean, I don't feel like the loss is as great as people are making it. Is it a setback for the OC? Yeah, it's a setback. I mean, it is. You don't want to see them lose the titles because it took Gallows and Anderson forever to get them back. They haven't done anything with them in a really long time, and they're getting this push, and it's just sort of stalled at the moment. But I feel like they're going to be moving on to better things here soon, hopefully.
So there you have that. We saw another grouping sort of get together tonight in the form of Randy Orton and the Revival. It was a Revival against the New Day. New Day ended up winning by disqualification when Randy Orton came out of nowhere for the RKO. And then they sort of just beat down on the New Day. Kofi came out, tried to make the save, but he got hit with an RKO. And then they had a watch. Randy Orton made Kofi watch the Revival stomp on the leg, all in a figure four of Xavier Woods. So
this was nice.
It looks like they're trying to injure, you know, the people closest to Kofi, trying to get under his skin.
They're doing a little psychology here with this, which I like. You're having Randy be much more vicious, much more devious, a lot closer to who he sort of used to be way back in the day. So you're kind of getting original Randy Orton here. And I like that. I like that even though, you know, I hate to see Woods and E get beat up, it's a good way to get to Kofi. I like the Revival with Randy. It's a nice touch. It sort of gives him, because Randy's always been good in a faction. Mm-hmm. Like, he's fine on his own, but he's better in a faction. So to give him minions, that's a nice little touch for him. So they can kind of run around and you can have the three of them challenge New Day. You can have Randy and Kofi solo. You can have Ian Woods against the Revival. There's a lot of really good mixings in between. And yeah, I just feel like this is going to be good for everybody involved.
Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross beat Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Saw a little matchup they had. Nikki Cross got the win.
Very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I don't like that they called them, like, the odd couple. That was a little weird.
It was very weird. I think, like, it stuck out to me. It was like they called them the... Okay, whatever. It was what it was. The Ricochet and Miz defeated Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin no longer wrestling in a vest. He was wearing a wife beater tank top.
Well, he took the vest off. Mm-hmm. Like, he took the vest or the shirt he had on off. And he stripped down to the wife beater, which I'm sure that made the Baron Corbin fan club very happy. But yeah, I mean, it's good to see Baron back on TV. They've kind of cut him back a little bit and sort of really taken the gas pedal off of him. But this was good. This was an entertaining little match.
They in turn want him to be King Corbin. Speaking of King of the Ring, we had two first round matches tonight. It was Samoa Joe and Cesaro. They had a really good match, with Joe getting the victory to move on in the King of Ring tournament. And Cedric Alexander beat Sami Zayn to move on in the tournament.
The Cedric-Sami match was fun. I wouldn't mind seeing more of that.
Yeah, it was a little shorter. You would expect a little bit longer match. But, yeah, it's good. So while it lasted. You had Rey Mysterio backstage. And he's talking about his fortune and wonderful career. He's done everything he can. Talked about Andrade ripping his mask off. It was a disgrace. It just bothers him, and like he's trying to figure out what to do next. He talks about his injuries, and it's time for him to finally just sort of hang up the mask and let the new generation of superstars make their way in. He starts to remove the mask until his son Dominic showed up and told him, don't do it yet. We need to team up. Think about it. I want to be able to tell my children, your grandchildren, that I teamed up with their grandfather. And
Dominic, you're a little young for that.
Ray's like, I'll do it for you because I love you, son. They hugged. It was good. It was like, you're hooking yourself in because it's like, you know Ray's not retiring yet, but they hooked you thinking he would. So it was like, that was a nice job.
What was interesting about this, and it was a little weird, was how they shot Mysterio at the end because they zoomed in on his face because they're, you know, Dominic and Ray, they're in this warm embrace, father and son, and Ray's just kind of standing there with his eyes open, you know, kind of like reflecting, I guess. I don't know. It was interesting.
It was.
So there's a little subplot going on here that we don't know about, but, you know.
We'll have to see where it goes.
We will have to see where it goes.
Monday Night Raw opened with Roman Reigns facing off against Dolph Ziggler. Dolph cut this promo. Should have been me. And then, you know, he talked about being speared and he got speared by Goldberg 3 times, all out of surprise, and then Shawn super kicked him before that, and then he lost to Maurice's husband with Ric Flair's move. He super kicked, before he did the should have been me, he super kicked Roman. They said, will Roman be able to get back into it? And then they had a nice little match with Roman getting the win.
Yep, so they're continuing with Dolph and his whining. Hey?
Which we all love the whining.
Yeah, love so much.
The whining is the best part of Monday Night Raw, is him whining. Elias had his last ever in-ring performance live because, well, he's the 24/7 champion and he wants to go into hiding because he's champion. This performance had technical issues as the production person was not doing their job correctly. That's because it was R-Truth. R-Truth tried to win the title. He grabbed the guitar at one point, tried to hit Elias, but he rolled out of the way. So it looks like we now have a new target for R-Truth, and it's Elias.
I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this. And honestly, I actually like that Elias got away with the title.
There was also a video of Drake showing up over the weekend, at the recording studio, trying to get the belt.
Which was hilarious, because he tries to roll Elias up real quick. And he just grabs hold of Elias's leg, and he just falls, and Elias is standing over him like, what are you doing? Why do you have hold of me there? I don't want you to touch me there.
Don't touch me. Why are you touching me?
It was great.
It was. It was really fun. So, it was announced that Corey Graves had the night off. So, in his place was one Jerry the King Lawler. So, Jerry Lawler was on commentary, but he was also hosting King's Court with Sasha Banks. But before we get to the Sasha part of it, he's here because he's Jerry the King Lawler. So he's talking about the King of the Ring and how it made Steve Austin, Bret Hart, and Brock Lesnar. And he then he started talking about the bracket, and he was picking Ricochet and Cedric to win the Raw, to be the finals on the Raw side. And then when you get to SmackDown, you hear everything sort of start to shut down. And Lawler goes, oh no, I've seen this before. The lights go completely out. The strobe light is going off. As Jerry Lawler's on the stage. Now, from behind comes the Fiend. And the Fiend puts the mandible claw on Jerry Lawler and leaves him laying.
Okay, so Jerry has learned. Say what you want about Jerry Lawler, but Jerry has learned the signs and tried to get out of there before the Fiend showed up. So, props for that, for having the exact reaction that you needed him to have, which is he's like, oh no, 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 he's not getting me. No, no, and he runs.
Uh-huh. But he stopped. That was his mistake. He stopped.
He stopped. He should have just kept going. Like, you don't stop in the horror movie because the guy's going to get you. And that's exactly what happened. I loved how you had, like, Bray just appear out of nowhere behind Jerry and just, like, take him out. That was really cool. But, yeah, so Bray Wyatt is back. He's back to attacking people randomly, which I put this tweet out, and I'm going to say it on the show, which is I'm, like, really becoming more and more convinced that the Fiend is Bray's physical manifestation of his anger, and, like, the Funhouse Bray isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
That it's an illusion, and that the Fiend is really Bray Wyatt, and what the lantern represents is that he killed his old self. Or his old self is dead. I don't know. But, like, there's something really deep going on here, and I feel like Boo Boo's, you know, sort of venting his anger at the world for sure. With this gimmick, I don't know. But yeah, Bray Wyatt's back out there murdering people, which is exactly what you need him to do. You want to keep the Fiend special, you need to have people be afraid of the Fiend. You don't know who he's going to attack or when he's going to attack. You just need to have him attack.
Yeah.
If you're not going to use the Funhouse stuff, if you're not going to have Funhouse Bray show up, then you need to have the Fiend lurking, and you need to just have people be absolutely terrified of him.
Right.
Because otherwise it makes no sense. Sorry.
Yeah.
I got a cramp in my side and I had to stretch. Sorry!
All good. So there you go. So we'll see where the Fiend attacks next. So, Becky Lynch, earlier today, delivered a promo. She was talking about, she said, why do I keep calling about people? Because she wants to get everyone at their best. And she said, Becky, Sasha ran away for 4 months while her career was ice cold. And now she's returned. She's hot as ever because of me, because talking about her in the press and everything. Lynch was wondering what she did during her vacation made her so hot. And, well, she did nothing because I put more work into getting Sasha over than Banks actually did. And she delivered this line. Sasha is the greatest woman on the roster to never be great.
Ooh.
It's like, damn.
Ouch.
Damn. Which led then to them interviewing Sasha Banks. And she's like, they were asking her all these questions. Like, yeah, everyone, why did you do it last week? And it's like, everyone's talking about my blue hair. You see my blue hair? It's like, I like my blue hair. I looked in the mirror and my hair's nice. So there was that. It was a good little tease of the interview. It was like, yeah, she's not going to get to explain why just yet. So it was cool. I liked it.
But the important thing is that they're trying to get her to say why, even if she's not going to right away.
Right. But then Natty starts talking backstage. She's in a sling. She said she came from the doctor's office. She brought the anniversary of her father. She said Sasha was one of her closest friends, and they can't wrap their head around what she did. Especially at one of the most vulnerable times in our life. The crowd's chanting what, by the way, as it's going on. Then Sasha runs in and attacks Natty. She then tells Natty, go to hell and tell your daddy I said hi.
Ouch. Damn, Sasha, like, that's cold.
Mm, that was a great line.
Oh, it's an amazing line, but still, it's like, ouch, that's that ow. Okay. Ow.
Okay, here's my problem. It was all good, it was fine. Can we stop making the poor Natty? Can we stop with the poor Natty stuff? Stop with the anvil. Stop with poor Natty. It's not working. The crowd clearly doesn't care because they were wanting it the whole time. Just stop. The poor Natty is old and tired. Let Natty be Natty. Just stop being poor Natty.
But I feel like they don't know how to let Natty be Natty because I don't think they've ever figured out how Natty really fits in to the product in general, ever. I think that's been her problem, really, the entirety of her career, ever since that she showed up. Like, I think the most that they had her settled was when she was with Cesaro and TJ, and that was years ago.
Oh, I know, like, but here's the thing. You can do poor Natty. Don't have to bring Anvil up.
But that's
I know. But she can be upset that she lost the match to Becky. She can be upset that she's hurt. You don't need to do the poor Anvil stuff. It's turn off television.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you don't need to use her father to get her over. She's good on her own. But I really honestly think they don't really know what to do with her sometimes. Like, and it's, I don't know if that's any fault of her own really, but it's just like, Natty is a very specific character. And she only does very specific things. And so she doesn't lend herself well to other aspects of what they're doing. So like comedy, stuff like that, she doesn't lend herself to it at all. I mean, I'm sorry, she doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's just, she's Natty. And this is what she does. This is her part of it, or part in it, and that's it. And I don't mean to talk trash about her, but it's just like, in terms of her range of acting, it's gotten better, but it's very limited. And so that limits what they can do with her. And so she can do the poor Natty. She can cry about her father on TV, and she can say, oh, woe is me, you know, oh, Sasha, she was my friend, and then she beat me up, and I really don't know what happened, and yada 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 yada, and that's what she can do. Or she can be badass. Those are, like, kind of her options.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I think if she had more range, there might be something there, but she's just, when they've tried with her, it's never worked, and I don't know if it's just the material, I don't know if it's who they've had her working with or what, but it's like, the range just isn't there for her, unfortunately. So I think at this point they're doing what they can. Maybe. I don't know.
We'll have to see.
And that's not to say that anybody could do Natty's job. What she does is extremely difficult. Like, I'm not saying I can do her job at all. I couldn't do her job or shit. Like, she's far better at it than I ever would be. But I don't know. She's just, to me, she's never been able to act.
She's way too serious.
Yeah, and she's very sweet, but she's very serious, and she can't, you see it, you see her get there, like, right up to where she's comfortable, and then she doesn't go over that line. Like, she just can't let herself go enough to cross that line, to take it from, okay, I'm just maybe pretending, to, I'm just full on, full send, we're just doing this. Because you look at other people in the company, you look at someone like Becky. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to use Becky because she's in the feud. Becky Lynch. While I'm sure this character is not far off from her natural personality, and they're just sort of cranking her up to 20, Becky Lynch, Rebecca Quinn, whatever you want to call her, the person is not the same Becky Lynch that you see on TV. She's letting a certain part of herself go and putting it into this character to create what we're seeing on TV. And that goes true for anybody in that company. You know, since he's on TV right now, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, The Undertaker, Kane, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Sasha Banks, you know, Bayley, Charlotte, you know, Ember Moon. You know, again, the list goes on and on and on of, there are certain aspects of their personalities that get put into the characters, and then they let go of the rest, and they, you know, somehow they become that person, that alternate person. Natty's never been able to do that, because I feel like Natty's being herself. And she came in a time where that's all she was expected to be, was herself.
Mm-hmm.
Not a, in quotations, character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what WWE is kind of going back towards, is characters that are based in reality. Which makes no sense, but that, you know, she should be able to do it, but I just don't think she can. Maybe she can. I don't know. Maybe she's gotten acting lessons. She has gotten better.
Yeah, we'll see.
I will say that. She has gotten a lot better. Like, they've coached her, and they've worked with her, and they've gotten her way better than what she used to be, but she still, again, you just see her every time. She gets right up to that line, and then it's like she just stops.
There's a wall that stops her. She's not comfortable, she just can't, going through.
She can't let herself go enough to go over the wall. So that's why it's like, again, they limit her to what they know she can do. Which is the woe is me.
But that will do it for the Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. You can catch more of our content all week long on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as we're delivering 5 different shows this week. Let's see. Let's start. Available today was the Rack Extra Reviews 100 Things WWE Fans Should Do Before They Die. by Brian Alvarez. That review is available now at wildtalkradio.com and rockradioshow.com. Available tomorrow will be the Rock Extra Reviews. It's called Ninja Get Good, My Ultimate Guide to Gaming. That will be available tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow night, our third show will be the Rock Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Season 1, Episode 19. You can check all that out. Thursday, before we're live, you'll hear have another episode of the Rock Extra Reviews, and that it will be, as he goes through his books, There's No Such Thing as a Bad Kid by Titus O'Neil. That will be available on Thursday afternoon. Thursday night, we will be live for our fifth show this week.
Can you tell we've been a little busy? Just a little bit? So yeah, tune in. Thursday night, it's The Rack. We're going to have news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, and we will probably have a lot of news this week. We'll have to see. And we're going to actually have to have a discussion because there is no pay-per-view forthcoming. So tune in for all that. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
So legit, I had to go through the stack of books to remember what's coming out.
Yeah, because it is a literal stack, and we're not done.
And we're not done. So, you can check it all out at wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, Saturday Night Midnight, cbradio.com, greaterthangreatdebate.com. If there's stuff to talk about and they're interested, it'll be Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. We won't be back next Monday, right?
No. I have to travel for work, so I will not be around next Monday. But everybody, tune into Raw, enjoy it. Have fun, and I'm crying because the week after that, Taker's going to be on SmackDown, and I'm traveling again for work. So I'm going to have to see if I can catch Taker on SmackDown. But,
yeah. So
there is no Raw post-show next week.
But there will be one the following week. It's a weird, wonky schedule for a couple weeks, but hey, we're delivering 5 shows this week. Or it's technically 6 with this, so.
Yeah. You get a bonus.
Bringing the content every single day this week. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. File, subscribe, Twitch.tv/WTLive. Yeah, Amazon Prime account. Link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. I also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD.
We'll see you all week long for the Rock Extras and the Rack live Thursday night and every Monday night. Usually, right here for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern, Long Airways. On the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
WildTalkRadio.com.